And welcome to the Finance and Government Committee for Monday, March 27th, 2023. I am Kathy Holgarty, council member, sitting in for the chair of this committee, Kate Kohler, who's out of town right now. I'm joined by my fellow council members, Deshaun Quinn and Cynthia Delstreams Johnson. And we have two items on the agenda. And we will begin with 1A. Financial considerations regarding annexation into the PSRFA, or Fire Authority, as we call it for short.
Right.
Thank you.
So I'll go ahead and start that off. You'll see a couple names there, and Ms. Bianchi did not put her name on this, but she has been instrumental in putting this information together. So this was meant to be a beginning of a conversation, and our expectation is that we'll be back in Finance and Governance on April 10th. That's your next meeting. And so we really want to make sure that we answer any questions that you have, because this is the first time you're looking at it. And so I just want to go over some of the information that's in this memo. And last week, we did a second memo that I was going to hand out after we go through this memo. And it's meant, you'll see draft all over these things, because one of the things that we have learned is that it is very hard to make assumptions about the future. Because you as council decide your own future. And so anything that we put onto paper is making those assumptions. And really, any of these assumptions are going to be future councils that will make some of these conversations. At the same time, you adopted a six-year financial plan that put some of these assumptions onto paper. And so we're going to talk about that as well. So I'll go ahead and start off. Is there anything that Carlson or Ms. Bianchi want to say before I go through the memo a little bit more in detail?
No, I think you set the stage really good. I just want to really reiterate what Mr. Klein just said, and that's the fact that the numbers that we're going to be talking to you about today are based on assumptions, and that it is a future council that will be making these decisions for real.
But I think it's important for us to also know that you had to use some numbers in order to do a six-year plan. And so and you might want to point that out and say, so this is the number we used or something as you're going along where that's appropriate.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the first part of the background, just kind of set the stage for this. This has been, I think I'm looking around the table to at least a 12-year process that the council has been leading about what is the future financial sustainability of fire services that really has led this. It started with the 2021 Community Advisory Committee that came to a recommendation in May of 2022. That talked about annexation into the Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority would sustain and enhance services in our community. And that still continues. The council took that recommendation. You signed a contract in October of 2022. And as of January 1st, you've been under that contract for services. That contract is a two-year contract. And as you've heard from other ones, it was always built for annexation. The annexation plan, we briefed the council last week on that. And that will be coming back to the council for approval on April 17th. Along with that is there was a question about, well, what is the financial implications of these decisions? And so that's where we started talking about, let's look at this. And the first thing was the financial, how fire authorities fund fire services is they have something that cities don't have, which is called a fire benefit charge. And so the fire benefit charge plus their property tax is how they fund services. And so the chart on the second page is kind of working through some of those financial implications. This was what the Community Advisory Committee had talked about. And I'm going to see if I can explain this chart. We have some better charts. And so bear with me. I think that we have some better charts that talk about the full cost of services. So we can either, but I want to make sure you understand what was in this, because this is what the Community Advisory Committee looked at. So let me just take that first line. It is a residential property of a $500,000 home with a square footage of about 2,240 square feet. Right now, we would charge about $950 for the fire services that house would pay into for fire services for the city and the Tukwila Fire Department. The fire authority would look at that house and say there will be some portion which will be property taxes, and that's in that kind of orange section, the $450 is property taxes. And then they look at the size of the building, the fire risk of the building, and the complexity of the building. And the fire benefit charge is like $227. So that house is only going to pay about $677 to the fire authority for fire services, a difference of about $272. And so this is the information that the Community Advisory Committee looked at, seeing that single family homes typically pay a little bit less because they're not as complex and not as a big risk. Usually larger complex commercial properties, high rises, pay more because they're a bigger risk. You can see those numbers later on down there. And so we started looking at what did the council actually, there's some things here about what we actually did in the budget process. And a couple of things that the council did in your six-year financial plan is the first thing was annexation was to sustain fire services. A second thing was you wanted to also sustain city services going forward as well. In your six-year financial plan, you did three things. One is that you reduced the property tax levy that you would be taking in if annexation was successful. You also maintained the current level and to pre-pandemic level of services. And then the third thing you did was you created a financial sustainability task force that was going to give you some advice as you went along this way. And so that was kind of what's in, I'm trying to think if there are some other things in this memo, and I wanted to kind of get some questions. But then after conversations with staff and a few people, we decided to try another take at trying to figure out how do we explain this to our residents and to the community so that they can make informed decisions about what did we know and what are the expectations going forward. So those are kind of some of the quick conversations. I kind of quickly went through that memo because we want to get to the second memo and walk through that. It's new information. That's why we're going to come back on April 10th. But what kind of questions or issues came up in that first part that I just kind of went through?
Councilmember Quinn.
No questions. It's fairly straightforward. So I see the proposed, right? We're all talking about kind of high-level proposed with the Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority, which, let's see, we're spending $11.5 million annually in property taxes, right?
Yeah, that was a reduction from the, about a 17.5.
Right.
2020.
So 17.5.
Yeah.
And so let's say the result is that, as proposed, it would create a $6 million kind of relief for the average taxpayer.
Right.
Considering why we even started this process around sustainability of services, but also fire, like that's even why we considered it. And thinking about, there's a way that you can kind of walk back and say, try to be positive, but the amount of a general fund contribution to fire to keep it sustainable has been on the higher side. And then the way this is proposed, balancing all the services, and in particular, acknowledging the services that the public says they want to maintain, this reduction will be just a result of the process for annexation, but also we are not, now we don't know what the budgets will look like, but we are not asking residents to do with less from the general fund. And as someone who's had to do budgets, we've had to balance a little bit disproportionately, and it's, I think we've run out of time for that to be viable, because that's why we went with the RFA. So we've been spending this rate, and it cuts into other services.
It does.
So, I mean, that's how I read this chart, but also the steps of the task force. I can see what they saw here. So this makes sense. And we aren't, this is our conversation about it, and then whatever the process for the RFP, they will also have this conversation. Am I correct?
Right. And I think that's, I want to make sure we, it, that was a conversation that I think everyone is a, the focus is the annexation is, should the, you know, city annex into the fire authority for sustaining fire services into the future. I think Councilmember Quinn, you bring up that you've had to make some very difficult decisions on services and staffing levels, and those things have impacted the community. And the fire benefit charge and fire authority process of funding services seems to me more equitable. It actually is for those who actually have more fire risk or paying a higher rate, and for smaller homes, small, tiny, will probably place, pay less for fire services. But that has come at also a cost of other services for the city. If you look at the, for example, some of the changes you've done for fire department, it just in these last 2 years has come at the cost of other services for the community. And so that's the main reason. And so that's one thing I do want to kind of, there's some more questions here, but I want to give you some, we've tried to look at this in a different way from this information. I want to make sure we talk about that, because there is that two-step, is the annexation and then the fire district. And then the city has some decisions that it will have to make in 2020, end of 2024, about how it wants to sustain services in the city.
Right, and all of which are, is a decision for future council. I do want to note one thing, that commercial and apartments could see an increase,
yes,
based on the technical responsibility of responding.
Mm-hmm.
But that is specific to kind of what is required to respond.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
I think Councilmember Quinn touched on the questions that I had, which is, you know, I'm seeing a significant, well, there's a decrease for residents, but the increase is happening for commercial and apartments. And I think you explained that in terms of what's impacting is the fire benefit charge, which is, it basically is something that affects buildings that are more complex, that need greater, like have greater need in a sense. So that makes sense to me. And that was really my question, for as much as you've presented so far. I know there's more to be presented. So
I'm going to go ahead and head out this.
Well, can I ask a couple of questions?
Oh, please.
They'll set that up.
Okay.
All right. So the on the chart, the truck equivalent levy rate, right now is what we assess, our part of the assessment, right?
Part of the assessment.
Is $1.90 per square foot or whatever it is. And are we using all of that for fire services right now?
When this chart was created, that was not for all of fire, because at that time we were total property tax, I think at that time was about $220. When this was from Bill, I think this was when we were doing that, it's probably a little bit higher than that, about $210 or $220.
So
all property taxes.
So here's the key point is the fact that if we just had the fire levy and the fire benefit charge, and what you would do then is they would get 90 cents of the, and then we'd get the rest of the levy rate. Then what a person would be paying would be what they're paying now, plus, is it the fire levy rate and the fire benefit charge, or let's say we did no reduction in services, no adjustment of taxes, and that's what we're really going to talk about, is the adjustment of the taxes. If we did no adjustment of taxes, it would be the 945 plus the 450. I can't remember what we said it was.
It would be the 945 plus the 677.
Okay, so people's taxes would actually go up $677. So that would be what would happen. And so the minus 272 is if you like take one or the other, your taxes don't go down that much. It's just what the adjustment is.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's the first thing. The second thing is, so the council committed to saying, okay, so we're going to make some adjustments to what the city gets of the taxes, you know, and lowering them so that our residents aren't paying the full amount, right? So then the next question is how and what. And so then in order to do a six-year plan, there had to be some sort of assumption of what that reduction was going to be. And that's what you're going to show us right now.
That's what I'm going to show you right
okay,
now.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And so this was based on the Community Advisory Committee that was in May of 2022. Since then, we have better information. You adopted a financial plan. You went into contract in October, so we have that information for us. And so we assumed annexation because that was what was in mm-hmm. the contract mm-hmm. By 2025, mm-hmm. successful annexation. So let me go ahead and pass on this memo, and then we can walk through it, and I'll let some other. Mm-hmm. So the first bullet points is really reminding us about the why. And the why has always been sustainability of fire services into the city of Tukwila. And it was to ensure the long-term sustainability of funding fire and EMS. Actually, that was one of the main charges you gave to the Community Fire and EMS Committee, was what was for long-term financial sustainability. The other thing is that they also found out that they could also enhance fire services through fire FT carers, paraeducator. We gave that conversation of their already been in our preschoolers and some of the services that we'll be paying for, but enhanced fire marshal services, which is going to be an ongoing cost that we still have as a city. But then first one was long-term sustainability of funding fire. The second part was something we just talked about, was the committee also understood that it was to address structural funding. Councilmember Quinn, I think you often talk about the structural issues that, cities and counties face in the state of Washington, and it was to allow the city to return to pre-pandemic service levels. If you remember, this 23-24 budget was based on a bridge budget, and it was with the expectation that we could return to pre-pandemic levels afterwards. In all our different departments, and we've heard it's impacted streets and parks and our planning department as well. And the other thing was that we talked about annexation allows for a more equitable way to pay for fire services instead of just using property tax or other revenue streams. This fire benefit charge is not available to cities unless they are part of a fire authority. And so it's a more equitable way about how we should fund, kind of a nice nexus that those who have a higher fire risk should pay more for their fire services. So those were kind of the beginning assumptions. And then we actually went in, I wanted to go back, and so I used the source document was your adopted 23-24 budget. And this is straight out of that budget. So I thank Ms. Carlson, because it was very easy to grab these numbers, but they're all there. It's actually on page, I think, 53 and 54 of the budget document, if you actually want to go read at home. So the first part was the city anticipated lowering the city's property tax levy upon annexation in 2025. And the 2024 council will also make the decision, but there were some things that were in that six-year plan: reduce the property tax, return service levels, and then quarter three of 2023, you're going to begin a long-term fiscal sustainability planning effort that's going to involve the community again. And you'll have a whole year process to bring the community. I know that there was other things that you had asked that fiscal sustainability task force to give you advice. And so as you go into your next budget process, you'll have that advice and you'll have more information. And so I think that will also determine what these final numbers would be. And so those are kind of the three things, is reducing the. And then the third one was this fiscal sustainability task force would be helpful for making future decisions. So this first big table, this is actually what is in your long range 6-year financial plan. And you'll see the actual numbers. The budget is 23 and 24. If we kept on this as a draft, and is 25 through 28 is all estimated. But your estimate, if you look at this, was that you were collecting property tax, $17 million, $17.6 in the 23. We're assuming that next year the city will collect about $18.1 million once you do your property levy at the end of this year. And then you'll see that reduction down to $11.4 million. And that was in your six-year financial plan, a reduction of about $6.7 million in property taxes that you had estimated as the first thing. So $11.4 million in property taxes, that will allow you to maintain services and bring them back to pre-pandemic levels, to the services the community was used to just a few years ago. And you'll also notice that year, I'm kind of circling 2025. That's when that decision, it'll be made in November of 2024 by the council when they adopt the 25-26 budget. You adopt a two-year budget, but you do a six-year financial plan. And this is based on the six-year financial plan that you adopted. Okay? You can see the levy rate goes down. It's estimated that, and this is all based on AB going up at 4.5%. See what actually, the rate goes from $1.85 in 24 down to $1.12 in 2025. And so then the question was, so what would be the impact if all these things, if these assumptions actually happened, what would that look like for a property owner? And so this was a hard question. I would say anyone who did this was all trying to assume what's going to happen in 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes doing this table, but we were asked, and so we have given this table, but I'm going to put a big draft and asterisk and everything because this is future council's decisions. And so nobody likes to make decisions. You know, that's your decision. But based on these numbers and what we know from the RFA, what we looked at was using 2023 dollars. Because even the people who do this in the RFA say, well, David, I don't know what the property tax rate will be in 2025. I don't know what the FBC will. That's going to be a future decision by actually the board that the city council will be part of with a successful annexation vote. They would make that decision in the fall of 2024 as well. So with all those caveats, I'm going to jump into the fray because we were asked to kind of give numbers. And so if you look at this, the city property tax levy on that far side is we included all the voter approved bonds as well. This is if you actually looked at, and this is a home. Each of these are unique to a home. This is we used a larger home. So the FBC is probably a higher FBC than a normal home in Tukwila. But we wanted to be on the high side. So this is actually a $604,000 home, but it's a 2,900 square foot home, which is larger than average, which would make it a higher FBC, a fire benefit charge. So right now that home is paying about $1,481 per year in property taxes for all city services, including the voter approved bonds. Post-annexation, with this reduction that was seen in the table above, that would be reduced to about $1,000. You can see the RFA property tax levy. This is estimated at 0.86 levy. You can see the rate has gone down since we last looked at it. Would be 519. The benefit charge would be 337. So the total for the RFA would be about $856. So the total tax experience would be $1,866 for that homeowner, a difference of about $385 or about $32 a month. And that would pay for all fire services and maintaining services at pre-pandemic levels. And so you turn to the last page. This is what a single family homeowner with a home, this is all the assumptions. About $32 more a month to get you a sustainably funded fire services, with the carers, with the additional services, keeping all four stations open at the staffing level, and they just got a grant to increase the staffing level. And it would return city services to pre-pandemic levels as well. And then you can see some of the sources. These are all documented in published documents that I wanted to make sure that we're making these assumptions. A lot of information, but we wanted to get you this. And like I said, it's going to be an iterative process. Love to find out some questions you might have so we can get a better document for the April 10th conversations.
Cynthia, do we have questions?
Yeah. So this, I want to, I want to be clear that this is all based on assumptions. I think one of the big assumptions is just what is the cost to maintain current services to pre-pandemic levels. And, you know, this the annual difference could be different if the council next year decides that they actually want to cut services, which we just went through a budget year. It was a really hard budget year. We made the decision to implement a B&O tax because we wanted to be able to increase police presence or just the number of police officers to pre-pandemic levels. Right. We wanted to get them up to pre-pandemic levels. In order to do that, we had to create a B&O tax to increase our revenues because the cost of everything, inflation has risen, the cost of everything. So yes, this is a decision that next year's council will have to make in terms of whether they want to keep the services as they are, which would, you know, what we're estimating would be about this annual difference of $385 for a property of this type, which is a little above what the median is in our city. However, if they decide they want to cut back services, then it could reduce this amount. Is that, am I understanding what we're,
okay. That's exactly right. Ergo, the difficulty we have of giving you any numbers because these are all budget decisions that you as a council member will have to make.
Yeah, but I think, I know we haven't talked about it yet, but my question was going to be, we already included in our budget this deep dive into our finances, correct? Mm-hmm. And so that is what we can do now to set next year's council up in a better, in a good position to be able to address these issues,
right,
which I think is great.
And I would just, I mean, I think the Fire EMS Community Advisory Committee did really good work in 21-22 that set you up for success as you went into the 23-24 budget. And I would expect the same thing from a Community Advisory Fiscal Sustainability Task Force. That same kind of deep dive would give you better information to make, you know, better decisions.
Thank you. Yeah. Councilmember Quinn.
I think it was well said by Councilmember Stevens Johnson. Like, there's always this decision. I remember a presentation where you actually had a proposed cut up there and what that did to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I do appreciate the planning, but two, the real time deep dive into kind of the kind of structural funding that exists. It's not hearsay, it's not whatever. This is, we get the numbers, we talk about, like, in this last budget or options and other things. It's like, we got to understand the whole universe. And our job is not about sound bites, it's about looking at the numbers. And knowing the impact of actually our rates not keeping up with inflation and the impact that is realized on the ground by the residents. So I'm cheering on the Q3 long-term fiscal sustainability planning efforts because I think that's important, and it also creates a strong baseline for anybody that serves on the council. But so, you know, the one thing I would hope is that we have that level of transparency, kind of like we did this year around this process, because there are other numbers, there's a stakeholder process, and that serves well. So one question I had is just like these numbers, this sequencing mm-hmm. was also kind of considered by the EMS fire mm-hmm. tower, correct? Mm-hmm. Great. I mean, this is how you new budget. She'd look at actually all the funding. People don't like to hear that the streamlined sales tax is significant, but it absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
And has been for some time. So I look forward to that Q3. I mean, it all looks consistent here. And then, the one thing I wanted to say around preserving the fire marshal, like there's a component of the fire marshal that is economic development.
Mm-hmm.
And that has the potential for allowing us to realize the fact that folks want to come and develop,
mm-hmm.
and what gets generated for those services will help cover the fire marshal, but it also helps cover someone that wants to get that kind of permit where they can open up a facility and to close. So I don't want to oversell, but I don't want to undersell,
mm-hmm.
The city's ability to retain a little bit of the economic development portion for the fire marshal office, because people can't get permits, they will not decide to develop there.
You know, that's good comments. I don't know that I have anything else. I really appreciate the work you've done here and this this memo here that really sets a good foundation and is easy to walk through. So it's great. And I think you said it, Councilmember Quinns, when you're looking forward to that long-term fiscal sustainability effort report,
mm-hmm.
that'll really help with all this information.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay, next steps are what?
What I was planning on doing as a group was to come back to this committee on April 10th,
mm-hmm.
with some probably a expanded version of this kind of information. If this is meeting more of your needs of what that is, I think that we could even go on that same evening to the council, or because April 17th right now is the annexation plan to put to accept the plan and then to put it to voters. And so we're trying to make sure that you have that timely information. So that was the idea. We're open to different ideas here. I'm looking to my staff there to. Mm-hmm.
Do we have are we comfortable enough with this to just send it to the committee of the whole? I mean, do you need more information? Are we messing it up if we say just go? Would you rather have us look at it first and then go straight to committee? I mean, we could.
No, I mean, the one concern I have, and I can't say this enough, that second table, the RFA is concerned about putting a table for future of their own future decisions. They also, you know, you'll be part of that elected board if a successful mm-hmm. annexation. They want to make any assumptions of what that board or the finances will look like. So we have made some assumptions in here based on 2023 numbers,
mm-hmm.
what that could look like in 2025. And their concern is that if someone came to them in 3 years from now and said, all right, that didn't what happened to my house. And it's like, well, that this was based on a certain point in time with a certain house. And so that there's just that little bit of concern. But I think we do want to get this information out to the community. This is good information. I think the council, you've done great work on really bringing the community along with this. And I think we have a good story to tell. And so we want to share this information. We also want it to be accurate. And knowing that November of 2024 is when the council will actually make this decision, we're a little bit, you know, we don't want to, that's an authority that you have, and that stays in with the council and the community.
I think the other part of that is the FBC is so dependent on your property type and your square footage that you literally can't do the calculation, right, to take the FBC from this property specifically. And so I just think it's important that we all understand that, you know, because the way it is done is equitable, right, across the different types, it's just not an apples to apples comparison from different properties. So I think we could caveat that, as well as these are $2023 dollars with what we know today, right, and put it more in a memo format if
if you're comfortable with that, but that is the concern, is that no one should walk away from this meeting saying it's going to be $385 for a residential home, right?
So are you talking about the table up at the top would still be there?
Yeah.
But you, rather than having this grid down here, you would just put it in a narrative format. And I'll tell you why. I had a conversation before. People are going to want to know when we're talking about potential increase or decrease.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know, is it going to be $1,000? Is it $80? Is it $25? So I think it's only fair to our constituents mm-hmm. to take the risk. And you have clearly outlined in this memo all the caveats. You've basically covered your base with all, and so that would only be an out there narrative. But I know that if I'm talking to a neighbor about this and we're talking about a potential increase or decrease in taxes, they're going to want to know a ballpark figure. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm really pushing for taking the risk mm-hmm. of having some sort of ballpark figure rather than having nothing, because sooner or later you're going to get asked by a council member mm-hmm. for that. So might as well do it now. And just make sure you've got all the things around it. And if the narrative starts floating out, really just hammer it into all us during all our meetings that this is a future council. You needed to have something to work on for your 6-year plan, and you did. And this is what it looks like for the 6-year plan.
Yeah, I think we need to have some qualifying language, because it's not just our story to tell anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is also the Sapphire Authority's story to tell too.
Well, they need to.
Well, I mean, but that's not appropriate for this space. And so if we think about the partnerships, if there's a way to have some qualifying language to get at kind of the universe, because what this also doesn't include is anything that could be passed between now and November 24th.
Yeah.
And that number would then be wrong.
Oh, you mean other legislation that would affect it?
Yeah.
So, and you could have those all outlined in the memo, that there could be all these different things. But in the end, people are going to want to know, are you talking about $35 a month or are you talking about $200 a month before they make decisions? You know, where's the ballpark?
Right. In the ballpark, and this kind of matches up with our other previous one for a single family home, that $30 a month, $32 is plus or minus. It's in that range is what we had assumed. And that seems to be borne out by the deep dive that we did right now on this property. So.
Yeah. And just, you know, you could write however you want to do it. This is a figure. This number is for estimation purposes. You could put that like every other sentence or however you want to do that.
So we'll take that direction. And then the question would be, do you want to do this at the April 10th? COW or the April 3rd council meeting, which is be a quick turnaround for us to put this in a memo for this Monday. The one reason on April 3rd, I just looked around, is that one, I'll talk to the clerk's office and we'll see if we can do that. Right now, your April 3rd regular meeting is fairly light. And so you have time, is what I don't know how April 10th, it could be light as well. But if you give us that you wanted April 3rd or 10th, we can work with the clerk and Ms. Humphrey to find out about what date works best.
Did you have a thought?
Well, I just want to make sure that we are going to meet the deadline to submit this to mm-hmm. be placed on the ballot. Like, right. That's what I'm most concerned about. I think it's fine with what we're presented with today. Mm-hmm. I think that it's ready to go to the next meeting, mm-hmm. which would give us, you know, some cushion mm-hmm. in case there is anything that needs to be discussed further.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like, I don't know how this is a quick turnaround because things get published mm-hmm. on Wednesday. So, I mean,
Councilmember, I agree with you. I mean, if we can do April 3rd, I think that would give you more time if there's more questions. And so that would be, I think, if we can meet that timeline, won't jumping at me yet. So, but let's see if we can meet the April 3rd. But that would be a regular meeting, but still it gives you time.
Yeah, we have a discussion in a regular
meeting. For discussions on these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think it would be good, I mean, we're limited somewhat to what we can say as far as factual, but this is not just one party that's going into this, and being able to speak to whatever is found, and, you know, there's a potential for it to be clarified later. Parties. But the other thing is, if we do April 3rd, and just meaning, you know, the chair's not here, so I would just encourage maybe a conversation with the chair. We've had an opportunity to air it here because that April 3rd meeting is going to have to be facilitated by the chair of, you know, what kind of what we came up with, because this is in the committee. So, I mean, I know you can do that, but I think there's a piece where, you know, we have to kind of power through this, but also acknowledge that, you know, these considerations came up with people. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. And the deadline looms large for me as well.
So you're both in support of the April 3rd meeting, and I am too. So you've got three council members in support of sending this to the April 3rd. If you if you guys can make that happen.
So we'll check the calendars, make sure.
And work with the chair and do all those things. All right.
And thank you. And if there's other questions that you have along the way, please, we want to make sure that this is transparent and gives us good information we have available to us.
Okay, the next item. Thank you. Let's wrap it up. And that's really good news to push it ahead a week.
Yeah.
I think this is all measure of comfort, right?
Yeah.
So the Public Works Operation Campus Phase 2 financing report, and this is a draft. We have, it's from David and Vicki, but Brandon is going to be presenting. Yep, there he is. He's got his camera.
Good evening, Councilor. Thank you. So for the record, Brandon Miles, Business Relations Manager, and I'm serving as the project manager for the next phase of the public safety plan. We've had a lot of touches with both the Transportation Committee, the Council as a whole, and the Finance Committee. This is the third draft. What we're doing here is this is still a draft. And so we're still working on this and adding the information that we think will the council will want to see in a final report. So what I have done for ease of your review is just highlighted the new in yellow, or maybe gray if you printed it in black and white. So I just want to go through these a little bit one by one, and then we'll open up to any questions you might have, and feel free to help me or interrupt if you have questions. One of the first questions that I came up in, and it's something that we definitely want to report out, is our bond capacity. So, you know, City of Tukwila does not have, you know, any project we do, regardless of the amount, $40 to $80 million will require us to bond for it. And so if you notice on page 11 of your packet, we've included a table that shows our bond capacity by year. And there's two things that impact our bond capacity. And Vicki, please feel free to interrupt me at any time. But the one is we have outstanding debt. So as we make payments, it reduces our principal, and then our assessed value. And so as our assessed value goes up, it increases the amount of bond capacity that we have. So, you know, if we're looking at issuing bonds in 2025, we would have about the remaining capacity for non-voted debt is $96.3 million. We're not going to need all that for the public works shops. And then our remaining debt capacity, which would include voter approved, would be $139 million. So then thinking about, you know, one of the things we're going to start transitioning and really thinking about is how do we service the annual debt payments? Starting on page 11, I'm showing what would be the 30-year debt service for a 30-year bond with one payment a year at 5% interest. So we're looking at about, for $80 million, it would be $5.2 million. For $60 million, we're at $3.9 million. We've always talked about a cost share between the general fund and the utilities. And so the, you know, and I'm just saying 50-50 for now. We're going to, we do need to, at some point, we will true that up. But if we did this, right, so at an $80 million bond issuance, the minimum obligation that the general fund would have was about $2.6 million, and down to 60 is 1.9, because, of course, the utilities make up the next part of that bond or that payment. If, and then on page 12, we're talking about a 40-year debt issuance, so this gets us a lower amount that we have to pay annually, but of course, the longer you kick out a loan, the more interest you end up paying over the lifetime. But this would result in lower payments that the general fund needs to have to make up or to pay on an annual basis. We also want to put a provision in there on page 12, again, interest rate variable. So right now, you know, if we wait 2 years, what are interest rates going to be like? So just showing some of the things that could happen if we see, say, an increase of up to 500 to even 150 basis points, how that would impact the annual payments for our bond, both for a 30 and 40 year. The other thing we're looking at is how do the utilities what's the structure by which the utilities compensate the general fund for being on the property? And so starting on page 12, we're talking about a hypothetical rent in which the utility pays, say, $1.5 million, and then over time that there's an adjustment for inflation that the utility funds would compensate the general fund for to be on that property. Again, they pay their share of the as a percentage of how it is allocated to them. So then that would reduce the general fund's obligation as we move forward because our loan payment, of course, would be fixed. So that's a lot of information there. I'll stop right there, and then I'm going to move on. Well, let me continue going. Any questions on the bond stuff that I've kind of outlined?
I think the one thing you didn't mention is our bond rating to contribute to the number as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And we have a very good bond rating.
Yeah.
Double A plus. Second
right.
Highest we can get.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It takes something to keep it.
Mm-hmm. So then continuing ahead on page 14, so I'm going to skip ahead now to attachment, I believe it's attachment A of your packet. It is the, it's entitled Current Conditions and Overview of Key City Facilities. We had given you the outline in the last meeting. This is, we're still working on it, but this is showing the framework that we're talking about. You know, when was the building built? The square footage. There's a question that keeps coming that has come up of, well, how much money are we putting into these buildings? So we're working with Public Works. Do we have that information? There's some items I need to add to it. But, you know, we have buildings like the 6300 building. I think there's been, you know, we've done cosmetic improvements to that building when police was in there and before we made a decision that we, you know, the Justice Center was done. We also have, you know, we have people working in those buildings, and so we have to maintain a certain quality of the work experience. The HVAC has to work, and so if it goes out, we have to fix it. So, you know, because we don't have other options for staff as to where they would work. So that's one of the things that you're going to see is when we have improvements, we're not investing in the, you know, we're investing in the buildings to keep them up functional so that employees can continue to work in them. And then, you know, one of the things, and just a little side note, you know, all the work that's happening over at City Hall right now, you know, with the new siding, we found a little bit of dry rot. Nothing to be concerned about. It's nothing that, you know, we can continue the project. But when you don't invest in buildings, when you don't invest in your infrastructure, it can create more problems later on. And we've talked about that a lot as a counselor. You know, the counselor's talked a lot about that when we talked about streets, right? When you don't maintain overlays, it can cost more to eventually have to fix roads because you haven't done your overlays. The next item I want to show you is attachment B. So attachment B, you've seen this before in different formats, but what this is an estimate and kind of an update on some land sales. So starting at the top, there are ones that have been sold or were under contract. So Health Point, the council authorized a purchase and sell agreement, were under contract for $3.85 million. By the Health Point has already paid us $2.5 million. And the final payment is due by June 30th of this year for $1.35 million. Traveler's Choice, the council authorized that in that sale, and we closed on that in October of 2021 for $665,000. George Long. This next row is for properties that you've authorized us to sell, but that we're still working on. And this is the George Long at we've estimated the value there at $3.2 million. Moving on, Council has previously been briefed on these. So this is the Old Allentown Fire Station with an estimate of about $200,000. Long Acres at $2 million. We are working on an opportunity there that we'll bring back to the council here soon. Old Fire Station 51, estimated about $2.3 million. The New Porter site, and then the Minkler Shops. Some additional properties that the council that's added to this list that you haven't seen before when you've seen this list. Old Fire Station 52, that has no value. There's a deed restriction on there, and so what we're thinking we most likely would do is tear down the fire station house and incorporate it into some type of plan with City Hall, Old City Hall, and Hazelnut Park, but we want to track that. The next is the 6300 building. That's a new one. Again, we can't really do anything with that until we make a decision about what we're going to do with a consolidated City Hall campus. And then the Star Nursery site we've added just to track that and to make sure we're keeping abreast of it as we move forward. So that's the new information. I'll also go back to, if you go back to page 14, we're also keeping a list there on, it's Roman numeral 7. As questions come up by council members that need a little bit more research, we're going to track them here. So I've added some of the questions that came up at last week's COW meeting. There was a cost of the operation, how much has it cost us to date for all the work we've done, and we're working on that. And then there has also been a question of what's the impact of terminating the project. That's staff generated, but I heard enough of that last week to think that that's a question we should add into the report. So next steps, we're going to come back to you in 2 weeks. So we're keeping on this tempo of checking in with you and adding stuff, and our goal is to get something to the full council by the end of April for them to see that report.
Thank you. Councilmember Flynn, questions, comments?
Yeah, just a question. I've reviewed it a little bit, so far you've been able to do this in portrait. I just want to make your drill harder and have to do it like whatever the 11, whatever. But the old Station 52 is, to me, there's an opportunity for I don't know if it's a note or status on the. I know you talked about the deed restriction, but there's deed restriction, and if there's any kind of other conditions on the property, which I think would be worthwhile noting. And then, for example, with, the dollars that were used to purchase a property, I think it's good to kind of get that all up front. So, because I've always heard a rumor about the old Allentown facility having some covenant on it. Mm-hmm. And so I just think on these properties, if we can kind of have a very kind of historical reference, if there's any limitations to the property. And then that way we can just be talking apples to apples instead of theoretical. So that's just the one thing that I would state, is just making sure we know if there's any kind of deep restriction. Like, you have it here under notes, but I almost think it's a fatal flaw. So it's more than notes. It's a fatal flaw. If you can't sell it because of the restriction, then it's a fatal flaw.
Either that or have it like a second call, yeah. Right up front. Yeah.
So
off the table for informational.
So, yeah. What I can definitely, Councilor Member Quinn, I can easily add a thing, and we poured title reports for a lot of our properties because we ran into this with another property, and so I think it's good for us to, we can have a note here that says, are there any title issues, like, that restricts transfer, reversionary rights. We can definitely add that. That's very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in parks dollars, mm-hmm. which means we have to pay those parks dollars back.
Yeah.
Instead of just a general fund. It's not easy. It's the color of money thing, too. So.
Yeah. That's a good point. Councilman Wallace Johnson.
So I'm in the hypothetical utility annual rent payments section. And it starts off as assumes a bond of $70,000. And I was confused because what if we assume that this project just you know, just continues to move forward without taking any pause, would, what would be the bond amount that we would go for? Would it be 70? Because I'm like trying to make sense of all the numbers. I understand that the general fund pays half, that the utilities pays half, and that, you know, lessens the amount that we would have to go out and bond for. But I'm just like, where could I find the amount of the bond that we would likely go for if we were to just continue to make forward progress without pausing? Is it 70? If it is, you know, like, how did we get to 70?
Yeah, so first I use that as just a hypothetical number. So first, the counselor has already, so when we talk about total project costs, last week, you know, it was about $82-83 million. That includes construction, hard construction numbers, as well as our soft costs. So our permitting, our design, taxes, anything like that. The city council has already budgeted about $5.5 million in 2025 and 2026 to pay for this. I'm getting way ahead of myself. And so that would be a cap. That won't, you know, my understanding is that we won't bond for that. So that will come off of our construction, that total project cost. As we, and council member, you're getting into, I think the next week's or the next discussion in a couple weeks is, so when we have land sales, that's a decision that we need to talk about is do land sales are currently budgeted against the D20 model. But since there's the annexation to the RFA, those funds will not be needed to support the D20 model. So do we put those towards the public workshop, which again would reduce the bond that we have to take out? So those are all things that we're thinking about. You know, a lot of moving parts, but, you know, the first is what is our total construction costs? And then how much of that can we pay in cash? How much of that can we pay with land sales? Also, you know, can we get grants? And can we get any kind of appropriations from Olympia or D.C.? And again, those would come off of the total construction costs as well, again, reducing the total amount of bond that we have to issue.
Okay. Got it. So it's just an assumption. It just threw me off because the chart was really helpful. The chart on, what is this? Page 5 of the memo was helpful. And I read, you know, council, it's making all these assumptions of where, you know, the things that you had spoken about, and it says 21,000. Which is what I was like, okay, well, is that the number that we would need for the bonds? That's giving an estimate. And then I go down and it says 70,000. I just got thrown off by that.
Sure.
That's all. But what you said makes sense.
So this comes back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Back in. Okay. Any other comments or questions about that? All right. Then we're on to miscellaneous. Does anybody have a miscellaneous? All right, we're on to adjourning then.